My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Wolkin is a national columnist for USA Today Sports. Once upon a time, worked here in Memphis. Joins us now. Dan, we've been doing this show for 8 years, and this is the first time we've had the pleasure of having you on, man. So welcome to the show. Thanks for the time.
Is that possibly true?
It is. It's true. Well, you were exclusive to GP for so long, man. You were untouchable.
I've also been excommunicated because I had some not so nice things to say about Penny Hardaway.
Well, we'll get into that. we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I do want to start with some professional basketball, because it appears we were both watching the same game last night with the Wizards and Blazers. And granted, I mean, it is against Klingon, even if Klingon was picked 5 spots below. But Alex Saar with the Washington Wizards, who maybe would have been an Atlanta Hawk if he was willing to work out, had one of the worst performances in summer league I think we've ever seen. 0-15, did not score. I know they say we're sort of taught not to ever react to something like this, but how can you not react to a performance that was that terrible?
Well, look, he's a talented player, and he is going to make an impact in NBA games on the defensive side of the ball for sure, but offensively, it's just a rough watch right now, and it's probably going to be rough for quite a while. And I think the fundamental problem with Alex Saar, and you know, this is what we were talking about here in Atlanta before the draft, is, you know, it's not so much that there was something about the Hawks or whatever. It's that he doesn't want to play center. He wants to be a power forward. Like, that's very, very clear. Now, the problem with that is I don't really think he's offensively skilled enough, at least at this point, to be a decent power forward in the NBA. And as far as Atlanta's concerned, their power forward position is set for quite a while. So it really wouldn't have made sense for them to take Alex Saar unless he was willing to play center over the long term. And that may be what he is just by inertia, because if you just have zero skill scoring the ball and passing and just don't really have a good feel for it, then, you know, that's where you're going to end up, just naturally. Also, the other thing is, this is a kid who kind of hopped around, right? He went from France, and then he came to Overtime Elite in Atlanta, did a year there, and then he goes down to Australia where he was kind of hidden and nobody was paying attention. And so there's kind of like this little thing going on with him. Was he running from the grind? You know, was he running from competition? Did he not want to get exposed? I don't know. But it's interesting, and you're certainly seeing in summer league that there's limitations there, even if summer league is not the be-all end-all of where you're going to end up in your career.
He was running from Donovan Klingon last night. That's for damn sure. I mean, that's the part of it that's I agree. Like, summer league is just an awful product. And we'll get into Reese Isay in a moment. But like you sort of I do think there could be things you can extrapolate when you're talking about guys head to head, like guys head to head at a specific position, like Zach Edey last week against Walker Kessler. That's something that I think you can say, oh, okay, he showed that. And Klingon's a guy, you know, again, that if you can't score over Klingon, like, how are you going to do that against anybody professionally? I mean, you're right. Maybe it's just not going to happen at the center spot, but I don't know. I came away from that really, really. With a lot of doubt as to you know him at the professional level as a two pick.
Well, and if you're a Washington Wizards fan watching Reed Sheppard tear it up for the Rockets summer league team right now, you're also probably not feeling great about that either.
Right, that's true. Zachary Richache has had some flashes. Has not really shot the ball super well. I know you're our Atlanta Hawks correspondent there in Atlanta. I see it with him. He has a great sort of instinct about the game, and I'm open to the fact that summer league is just almost beneath him from a you know structural standpoint. What have you made of him, and what do you think his role is for Atlanta next season?
Well, I think one of the big unfortunate things that happened with the summer league, and again, over the big picture, it's not going to matter much, but Kobe Bufkin, who was going to be the point guard for that summer league team, who actually was pretty good late last season for the Hawks when he got healthy and played actual real minutes. And he's certainly a guy like they're going to be counting on next year coming off the bench. He was their first-round pick a year ago. He gets hurt, doesn't play in summer league, so they don't have a point guard, and so their team is just a mess. With Richache, you know, and what I wrote on draft night is, you know, and again, I'm not an expert on French basketball. I certainly didn't watch any of these guys play on a regular basis, but you know, he's just the archetype of player right now that everybody wants in the NBA. Now, an archetype doesn't translate necessarily to you're going to be a player, but, you know, the height, the shooting, what he does off the ball, like, look at what, you know, the Knicks just paid OG Anunoby to get a big wing, you know, two-way wing like that. I mean, those players are valuable and they're really hard to find if they hit. You know, I think he will slide in. I don't know if he's gonna start for Atlanta or come off the bench, but I think he's the type of guy that when you look at kind of how they're pivoting their team, all right, you've got Trae Young, and you know you're not gonna dump him anytime soon necessarily, unless he just demands a trade. So what's the best way to build the team? Well, long, you know, tall guys all over the floor. And they're actually, I think they've done a pretty good job of kind of resetting their team. So, you know, Dyson Daniels, they get in the trade for DeJounte Murray. You know, Zachary Richache. They actually now are building a team with guys who are plus size for their position at the 2, 3, 4, and 5. And if you can get that around Trae Young, that's probably the best iteration of what a Trae Young team can be, you know, again, if they hit, if Zachary Richache hits.
Yeah. Talking to Dan Wilkin, national columnist for USA Today Sports here on the show. Grizz draft Edie at 9. We've only seen him once, 14-15 at the game-tying tip-in at the free throw line. I don't know if you could have asked to you know, for a better performance from him. I have not seen him since, but just from what you did see in that, I mean, what is your impression of Zach Edey and how he fits for the Grizzlies?
Well, that was the thing that kind of made me wonder when they made the pick is how does he fit? Because the NBA, and especially when you have a John Morant, like it's a real pick and roll game. And he doesn't seem to me like a pick and roll guy. Now he will screen,
right,
but it's the role part that is not really going to be his forte. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't really take, like I said, I don't take much from the summer league, especially with him, you know, given the age, the experience, and kind of the role. But you know, Memphis is like a fast team; they play fast. That's kind of been their thing. are they going to slow down? Is like that the new thing, or is Edie going to somehow fit into, you know, the pace they want to play with Ja? I mean, that's for them to answer, but at least for right now, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe it will when we see it on the floor.
Yeah, they had to get something there because the vet market was pretty rough, and so I get the idea. I'm actually high on him because I think he's, you know, a highly intelligent basketball player and will do what he's asked. But I certainly understand that there are concerns about limitations and fit as well. All right, do want to get your thoughts on Memphis basketball, because when I was setting up the show, I talked about there are only, I think, a few people on a national level that truly understand Memphis basketball, what it is, what it should be, what it could be. And we're sort of entering a very awkward phase for Memphis right now, which is like it's a very divided fan base, I would say. Some fans and some boosters think that it's going good enough, and there are others who are starting to sort of grumble and say this is not going well enough at Memphis. What's just your assessment of the program and, you know, where it's headed into year seven for Penny Hardaway?
Well, last year, watching them early in the season, I thought, wow, they finally kind of maybe have the right mix. I liked watching them play. I thought they had an interesting team. And then they get into the conference season and it just completely falls apart. And not just in sort of, oh, you know, they really weren't that good. They were just kind of average. Like it just disintegrated. Whatever they had disintegrated. And so, you know, I thought from given all the wins they banked in non-conference, for them to miss the NCAA tournament was a disgrace. And they are the best program in the league in terms of resources and fans and all that stuff. And you know, people can say, well, it's not what it used to be, whatever. You're just focus on the league. You should be winning the league, and they're not doing it with any sort of regularity. And I think that's the biggest indictment of the Penny Hardaway era. You know, my whole thing going back to when they hired Penny was I thought it was going to be a sugar high. I thought, all right, they're going to get this initial pop, and it's going to feel really good. And for a year, maybe two, they'll fill the building, and it's going to be great. And then it's going to wear off, and you got to perform. And I think I read after the season, like their actual turnstile count this past year was like 6,000 a game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty troubling
yeah.
to me. And it suggests that people have kind of lost interest in what's gone on over there. And I think a lot of it is just a product of Penny not really ever settling on an identity for what they're going to be. And it just seems like it's changing all the time. There's not a core organizational philosophy to what he's doing, and it's just let's just try to get, you know, the best freshman or the best portal guy or whatever, and we'll figure it out. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think they figured it out.
So, okay, let's just sort of talk this through, because we've been doing that here. This is the second straight season for Penny in Memphis, flipping the entire roster in the sense of you're returning 10% or fewer minutes from the season before. Now, again, like how many guys would you have wanted to bring back from last year? I don't know. But at the end of the day, all roads still lead back to Penny. That's your choice. And it's a second straight year of flipping your roster entirely. A team that's done that has never made the NCAA tournament in the transfer portal era. So the odds are against them doing that if we're using history as our guide. If Memphis doesn't make the tournament this season, that would be two straight. Is there a decision to be made? Is it obvious at that point? Like, what would you make of that scenario?
Well, it's obvious for me, but I'm sitting here, you know, 350 miles away, and I'm not in it every day like you are. Look, if it's me making a calculus on what's best for the program, then you just make a change and you get somebody else and you keep trying until you get it right. Like, that's just what you do in this business. People who argue, and I've seen this on Twitter and elsewhere, well, okay, you fire him, you know, who are you going to get? Or, you know, you can't get anybody who could do better than Penny. I don't know. I mean, he has performed well below the historic norm for Memphis basketball. I know a lot of things have changed about college basketball in general and specifically about the conference they're in over time, certainly not to Memphis's benefit in all of those cases. But the idea that Penny Hardaway is the only person in the entire coaching community who can get Memphis basketball to the NCAA tournament, I just reject that completely. And if you have to make the decision that he's not the right guy to lead that program to where they want to be, I don't think it would be that hard to get somebody else who's very good and who could get you back to the tournament within a couple years.
And what I would argue, too, is that, you know, those changes that you mentioned, a lot of those actually have benefited Memphis. I mean, they haven't been in a decent league for basketball since 2003, so that's not different. This one's just as bad as Cal's Conference USA, right? Maybe even a little better. I don't know. I'd have to go pull up the old RPI. But in terms of NIL, I mean, there are some people I talk to that believe Memphis has a top five, top ten NIL outfit for basketball. Now, again, depending on the day, you'll hear all kinds of things. You'll hear from Memphis, they say, oh, we don't have any NIL. And then you'll hear on a different day when they get a good player, we have great NIL. So it just depends on the day. But, like, I actually think Memphis – like, sometimes you'll see this, right? Like, what you start to see is fans will kind of diminish and marginalize the quality of the job. Penny kind of did this last month to sort of, you know, rationalize the results. And I think that's the part of it that's like you should never be trying to do if the results aren't coming.
Well, there are certain times where you absolutely can look at certain circumstances and say, you know, this is why it didn't quite live up to expectations. And everybody can live with that if it makes sense. But like last year, for instance, you bring in a whole different group of guys, NIL, not NIL, whatever it is, and you start the way they started, and then you just completely lose the plot. I mean, to me, that suggests nothing except that Penny Hardaway didn't have a very good grasp on the chemistry, on the egos, on the, you know, the selfishness. And guess what? That's like 60% of being a college basketball coach is being able to manage all that. Yep. You can bring in all the talent in the world, but if you don't get that part right, then you're not going to achieve to the level you want to achieve.
Yeah, we're talking to Dan Wilkin, national columnist for USA Today Sports. A couple things before we get you out of here. Obviously, college football is cranking up. We're having SEC Media Days. We had Big 12 Media Days last week. And obviously, for the time being, there is a spot that is allotted for the best team from the group of five. I believe in terms of the betting markets, Boise State and Liberty have the best odds to grab that spot. But right behind them is Memphis. If you were making a bet, and I know you don't, but if you were, which group of five team would you wager on grabbing that first spot in the new college football playoff?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, sure, any of those. I mean, give me Memphis, whatever.
Give him Memphis.
Very, very good chance that they're going to win that league, and if they do, I think there's a good chance they'll be the team. You know, I think in the bigger picture, though, like how all of this is going to work in the 12-team era, it's just going to be fascinating to see how the committee, if there's a different philosophy or approach to how they look at these teams. You know, if you remember last year, there was this big debate at the end of the year about SMU versus Liberty to get that spot, and they gave it to Liberty, and Liberty went out and absolutely got their doors blown off by
right.
Oregon.
Right.
And, you know, and I think everybody who kind of looks analytically at this would have told you SMU would have been a much better representative in that game because even though, you know, they may have lost one more game, they were the better team.
Right.
Have there been any lessons learned about that? Is the committee going to take a different approach when you're talking about 12 and they're spending more time probably on teams ranked in that range than they would have in the 14 playoff era? Like, these are all things I can't predict. It's just a whole new data set that's going to come into this committee discussion when we get to 12, and I'm fascinated to see how it plays out.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I think that's the part of it. I think we're going to look up, and this is just my guess, we're going to look up in 3-4 years, and the team that breaks through most years is going to get killed, and they're never going to make an impact or a real run at a championship, and you're going to see the power broker say, why are we giving these teams a spot? They're not real teams. So is it a likelihood, you think, that you know, that this spot just doesn't exist for the group of five? Like, how would you handicap that?
Well, I think for that to happen, there would have to be a lot more shifts in conference realignment, more consolidation, and more kind of a power grab from these other leagues. You know, I think you could also look at it from the opposite end to say, all right, this team most years is probably going to get the 12 seed, which means they're going to play the 5 seed in the first round. So, you know, first of all, that might actually be a competitive game because you're not playing the number one team. You're playing the number 5 team,
right?
Which certainly, you know, closes that gap yep. somewhat. And second of all, it's also maybe a little bit of a reward you could say, you know, because you know, for the 5 seed, if it's Notre Dame or whoever it might be, they'd probably rather play yeah. at least on paper a team like Memphis than I don't know whoever was number 12 last year. So I kind of think that the balance of it is good,
okay.
But that doesn't necessarily account for other, you know, things that may happen if the ACC dies or something like that.
Right. And then last thing, I saw you tweet about this last night. I don't have a lot of time anymore with two kids to sit down and watch things, but when I see a Wolken recommendation, I am tempted to start it. You recommended this new Netflix docuseries, Turning Point, The Bomb in the Cold War. It's that good?
Yeah, good history. Good history lesson on just the rise of nuclear war and going back to, you know, the Manhattan Project. And then it goes into, you know, the tensions and U.S. and Russia or the Soviet Union, you know, building up their nuclear arsenals and then the Soviet Union falling apart and different foreign policy decisions that the U.S. has made that subsequently have pulled the U.S. and Russia back into conflict, and then it's all sort of framed with the war in Ukraine. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's just long. It's long. It's like 9 episodes, and they're each over an hour, and it's very sort of heavy and a little bit depressing and scary, but I thought it was great, and I'm a history guy, so I thought it was really cool.
Oh, it's a perfect series for our time, Dan. That's exactly it. Nihilistic, depressing, dark. This is perfect for our time in the world right now. Hey, man, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Have a good summer.
Yes, sir. He is Dan Wolken.
Thanks, Dan.
USA Today national columnist. Good stuff from him. Yeah, he's got certainly an interesting perspective there on Memphis for sure, and I think his sentiment echoes, you know, a lot of what you'll hear, which is Memphis can hire a good coach.
Yep.
Like, it's possible. You know, Penny could still be a good coach. It doesn't have to, and I think he is in certain areas, and others lacking a little bit. We all have our, you know, our shortcomings. But I think it's a, you know, again, it's a good reminder, yet another national sort of personality coming on here and say, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be bad for Memphis. Like, they don't have to settle into this not making the tournament.
Woe is me stuff.
It doesn't have to be this way.
Well, I thought, obviously, we're kind of talking around it, the comments Penny made on the podcast where he says, you know, after me, it sort of isn't going to be like
this.
Yeah,
he said it would go down.
So
yeah.
I tend to think that good leaders say that they'll leave places better than they found them.
Oh, sure.
Am I wrong about that?
I just think for him, he's feeling attacked, so he doesn't really care about that right now. He just feels like
nobody's attacking him. I think that the consensus is that we got an opportunity here, you know, and we just got to plow through.
Yeah, look, I agree. I don't think anybody is attacking him. But I'm just telling you that's how he feels.
You know?
I believe the United States has retaken the lead,
hey,
by the way.
We're up 9. Yeah, it's 49-40 with 3:30 going second quarter.
There,
so now
go.
We're starting to pull away. They were down like 6 for a while, 7.
There you go.
And
yeah.
We flipped the script, John.
There you go.
Serbia is running out of gas in this friendly.
I could see them definitely mailing it in from here on out. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, why? Like, we play them again in 12 days.
Right.
We don't have to like put Joker back out there.
When Jokic, every time I look over at the screen, he's in and he's, they're trying to get him the ball. I mean, I don't know. They got a bunch of little dudes and Jokic out there. That's literally what it looks like. It looks like four little people and a giant.
That's what they've got, man.
My analysis.
That's the Serbian basketball team.
Yeah, Jokic has 10 points out of the 42 points.
Okay, wow. He's not even like half the scoring.
He has not been their, quote, centerpiece.
How about that? All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I just trying to FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.